Hey, folks, we're back. It's a goodlifebabe.com. Jeff and Joel's Tales from New Orleans, episode 73.
74.
Ah. I hate when I do that, sorry.
Hey, everybody, welcome back.
I think that's the only time I've done that.
It's not always a good life, babe.
It is
Jeff and Joel's Tales from New Orleans and the world. Tom Petty died today.
Or not in the not process. Yet, exactly.
He's not totally dead, but...
They pulled him off life support.
The indications are that he's gone.
So we're listening to some Tom Petty in the background. But welcome back to the show, everybody. It's goodlifebabe.com. Jeff and Joel's Tales from New Orleans. We're going to get through our show, and we're going to talk about... things on the minds of folks. I guess it's just us chickens tonight. Jeff, Spence, what's up?
Oh, not too much.
Yeah, how was your weekend?
It was good. I really didn't do much of anything.
Yeah.
Went to a wedding Friday, and that was about it.
Okay. No one got shot up at the wedding?
No.
Well, that's good.
That's good.
I mean, it's
that's an encouraging sign.
Sure.
Progress
in a state that's open carry and concealed carry.
That's right.
You know, like we might be one step shy of the absolute free-for-all in terms of weapons that Nevada is.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah. That's probably right there.
That's what I read about Nevada.
Is that
folks,
right?
Folks, unless you were living under a rock, you know by now that 58 people were slaughtered yesterday by a lunatic in Las Vegas, Nevada, from a guy that was shooting... from, I don't know, the 32nd floor
63rd
of the Mandalay Bay Casino, and there was like a country music show going on. He had, I don't care what the fucking media is saying right now, he had a weapon that was fully automatic. It was a fully automatic machine gun. It was probably a weapon that he obtained and modified. It's probably a weapon that's known for the ease of modification, if I'm going to guess, when they finally...
Ease of attainability as well?
Oh, everything in Nevada apparently. Look, and I didn't fact check this myself. I saw somebody post a listing of everything that is legal to in terms of guns in Nevada, right? And this is my understanding. And anybody out there, including Andy or anybody who wants to like back us up and like prove me wrong, I'm fine with that. Or Spence, if you want to look up the gun laws right now, that'd be great because I don't want to put my foot in my mouth. But this is what I understand in Nevada is that open carry is legal. Background checks are not required. Concealed carry is legal without a permit. Long weapon rifles and semi-automatic weapons are concealed carry, no permit allowable, which means you could like buy a trench coat and walk into a bank with a fucking gun.
USA Today, machine guns are legal under Nevada's firearm possession.
Like machine guns, meaning fully automatic. I don't think
automatic weapons.
Yeah, right. But that is that semi-automatic or fully automatic? You know what? I don't care. We got into this argument last. Some people tried to like talk about this about things being fully automatic or semi-automatic.
I don't think that's the point.
I think that all that does is get into another diversionary tactic that people who are who are absolute unfettered pro-gun ownership people want to talk about, and it changes the issue from the slaughter to a mechanical issue about the guns. I don't care. Here's the thing. Basically, anything you want to do in terms of owning a weapon in Nevada is legal.
I mean, we have a problem in this country with two things. Mental health care, right? And then a lack of gun safety legislation. I'm not talking about control. Let's just call it safety. You know, I've joked on this podcast before that I would love to offer every NRA member, every pro-gun member, every Second Amendment person, and just say this: I will give you 4 free guns. You're a hunter, whatever. You're a reasonable person. Well, the government will give you 4 guns. We're not going to take your guns away. We're going to give guns to you.
Yeah, but you don't need to give them to them. They'll buy them.
But you have... No, we'll give them to them, Spence.
I mean, they're buying them right now.
I know. What
just happened. No, but let them finish easy.
But the economy of scale here is that... my point is this. That I'm not trying to take away your guns. I'm going to give you guns for free. And all I'm asking you to do is get behind some thoughtful, reasonable, logical, practical gun safety legislation to keep guns out of people who are mentally impaired. It's easy. I'll give you all the guns you want. Take them. I'll give you a whole war chest of guns if you get, for you to be out on your farm.
Well, here's the thing with this guy. Where the fuck you live. Is that nobody knows. And it, in all the reports that you read, right?
Yeah.
That I've read so far. I read like everything that was available this morning.
Is that right?
I haven't read any of the updates.
Right.
But no, there's no indication that this guy had any kind of like previous history of mental illness. Mm-mm. Or anything in the run up to it.
No criminal history either.
No criminal history other than like the most minor traffic violation, which he resolved normally. Right. Except that he was apparently NBC reported that he had a sizable gambling debt, and that his brother that they got in touch with, who lives in Orlando, one of his brothers, he has two brothers, maybe more, but two that I saw that were interviewed, one lives in California, one lives in Florida, and one of them was like, I have no idea, this is crazy, I don't understand why. And here's the thing, I'm not buying it, okay, because the dude owned a shit ton of fucking weapons. In the room, in the hotel, he had a bunch of weapons with him.
Sure.
At his house, he had a bunch of weapons with him. Now, he had some neighbors where he lived. He lived in this, like, kind of one of these suburban retirement communities, right? And he lived with this woman who apparently was on vacation in out of the country. And so there's been a lot of talk about that they've been plastering her face all over stuff,
right?
And how radically that's going to change her life, but that people have been, authorities have said that she had nothing to do with it at this point, or maybe they're still investigating and trying to find out if maybe she had prior knowledge or whatever the case may be. They talked to people who lived in his neighborhood in the retirement community in Vegas, and a couple of people described him as weird, that the house always had the shutters closed and that he never really talked. Somebody described him as aggressively unfriendly. The people in the family described him as like a very plain, soft-spoken individual who never had any history of doing this kind of stuff ever in his life.
Right.
So you get a couple of different variations. You get a picture of a person who like didn't like to talk to his neighbors, big deal.
Right.
Is that a big deal?
No.
A lot of people don't like talking to them.
Which, just to like go off of what Joel said, like the mental health issue is definitely an issue, but like I don't think it's, I mean, this guy had no history. I don't think it's anything that would have stopped this. What could have stopped this is, if we're not selling high ammunition, high capacity magazines and, automatic weapons, that really have no useful point for hunting or anything like that. They're made to kill people.
And this is the
warfare.
The what drives me nuts is the slippery slope argument that the other side, if you stop us from having the kind of guns you just described, Spence, they're going to take all your guns. Right? Can we just dispense with that bullshit?
Well, the thing is,
I want them to have guns. Well, I want them to have a pro gun NGO.
Well, their argument for that is they don't want
the people to have guns.
They right. want to be able
I want them to know I'm behind their gun ownership.
Well, the thing with these people is that their idea is that their idea is that the government is like they need the guns to defend themselves from the government. It's bullshit like that where you gotta realize like we have so much money invested in our military. If they wanted to take anything from you, they fucking could.
I'll give you a cannon. I don't care. I'll give you a cannon.
There's no reason for any ordinary people to go and be able to get that.
That is such a. I mean, you could just watch.
The Constitution is kind of useless at this point.
I mean, can we update it, please? So silly. Like it's such. Yeah, can we just update the Constitution?
Can we update the fucking Constitution?
That's one thing that we need to do right away. Is to update the Constitution, get rid of this thing. But it's so insane that these people however many years ago passed this amendment about fucking firearms and that you have to own it, or you have the right to own it because, they wanted to have militia, you know, that could be ready of
people. Because our country was in trouble.
Was born out of that.
Against the mother country.
You know, the most...
250 years later.
The technology of warfare was, it's going to take you 3 minutes to load this fucking gun.
Right.
It's not, oh, hey, we have drones that can kill you without us ever leaving our feet.
Right.
And machine guns that, as we saw yesterday, can kill a crowd of 500 people and no one can get to this guy who's in a 38-story room.
Right.
Yeah, it doesn't... I want to relate a story about... because the arguments immediately careen into this crazy right-wing mentality of there's nothing that we can do. Like, Bill O'Reilly rolled out some bullshit about, you know, nothing can be done because we're just at loggerheads and, you know, nothing can be done. Nothing can be done. Nothing can be done. In the Onion ran their article where they were like, in the only nation that has a problem with this, nothing can be done about it. Right. So here's the thing. Years ago, when PCP was on just stay with me on this.
Sure.
When the way, as I understand it, that PCP,
Angel dust
was a drug, and the way that the government, it's like one of the only successful government drug interdiction efforts that succeeded in a broad way.
Can I ask you, they crushed it up.
Okay.
Can I ask you a quick question?
They crushed it up. Go ahead.
Do you think it was true, because you and I were kids as this was happening, right?
Yeah.
And they led people to believe, Spencer, that two things when I was a kid, when I was like 11, they led you to believe that if you did angel dust, PCP, you would turn into the Hulk. And you could not be killed.
Yeah.
And you would punch through windows of police cars, and you would drag them by the net, and you'd terminate their motherfuckers.
And it would take...
Like, that's what they let... They would take 100
seven,
dudes.
Seven or ten of them.
To bring you down. Yeah, there was that, and then there was the post-Magic Johnson HIV diagnosis, that if you put your penis in the vagina, it would fall off. Those were the two things from my childhood.
That I was never told.
I never heard that one.
That must have been...
Told Jackson for DD did not get laid... during that period.
You afraid of your dick falling off?
No, I wasn't. I realized it was a hoax.
Okay, so here's the thing.
Eventually.
No, at the time.
Right now, technologically, they have the ability to have personalized weapons that can only be fired by the people that own them.
Right.
So you have, right, it's like some fingerprint fucking technology thing. It won't fire unless it's you that's using it, right? So that's one thing. There are other technological things that they can do too. Like for instance, somebody has said, we don't need gun regulation. What we need is bullet regulation.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so like, we just don't sell as many fucking rounds to people. You get an allocate. So there's all kind of ideas.
Sure.
And it's all about controlling.
Again, let's call it safety.
Yeah, it's called safety.
We gotta say it's safety.
You know why the NRA was founded for gun safety.
Exactly.
Right.
Is that right?
If you go back to their videos in the 50s and stuff, it was all, you know, about teaching people about gun safety. That's what signing up for the NRA was. It was about being a responsible gun owner.
You heard it here, folks. First.
Now it's turned into a big money-making scheme with the gun company.
Well, but I mean, look, let's face it, though, that they've always been, that aspect of the NRA has always been a front. Just like these groups that put up these monuments, it's just a front for being a white supremacist organization. And at its heart and at its core, that's what it's about. You know, the NRA is about owning weapons so that people can have the idea of protecting themselves from people of color.
Yep.
That's what the NRA is about these days.
Absolutely.
You know, it doesn't have anything to do with this phony idea that people are like, I want to protect myself from the government at all. So that's my opinion about it. But here's the thing. Controlling the means of production, right, in terms of, and regulating the means of production in terms of guns. This is our federal government busted down PCP by controlling the means of production.
Right.
Okay? So when people tell you that, the reason why I'm drawing this analogy is because these are two things that people will tell you on the left and the right, nothing can be done about it. No effort on the part of our government will ever stem the tide right? Despite all the evidence to the contrary, we can look at all around the world. Every other country has these, I mean, other than us and maybe the Philippines, has these gun control laws that keep this kind of violence in check.
From ever happening.
And they are always, always predicated on the means of selling and the means of production.
Australia had their last mass shooting was what? Like the early 90s?
Right, right.
And guess what? They immediately stopped. But they just changed. They changed on a pivot on a dime. They just changed.
And they changed it. And they confiscated guns, right? But here's my point. If you think fatalistically that it can't be done, all you can look up the story of how PCP got eliminated. Because through government efforts, this agent said, well, what we need to do in order to eliminate this drug is we need to pinpoint one aspect of the production of this particular chemical when there's a catalyst that's very rare that's necessary to make that very specific reaction happen. Yep. And we need to eliminate that from the market because there's a similar chemical that can be used for all the other commercial applications that are available. Right? But that chemical specifically will not work for the PCP.
Look, dude.
Exactly. And he identified it, and then he went to Congress, and he said, I've identified this, and what we need to do is ban that chemical.
Boom. Can I give you two?
And you know what they did? Yes. They banned the chemical. And you know what happened to PCP?
PCP went away.
It went like this. Zoom, down like that.
Two quick thoughts that are related. George W. Bush, who I don't applaud on this podcast very often, did the same thing with crystal meth. He got rid of ephedrine.
That's right.
Over the counter.
Just
got rid of it.
Right.
So suddenly you couldn't make crystal meth anymore in America.
It hasn't stemmed the tide of methamphetamine. Not the
way that, because you're right. BCP went away completely.
Right.
Still
very much around.
Yeah, that was a bad... Yeah, you're right.
For sure.
You talk like you know from experience.
Well, I lived in West Virginia for a summer. It's real.
Yeah, totally. Right outside of Salt Lake, too. Forget about it. But the other thing with the PCP guy...
Forget about it. Forget about it. I lived outside of fucking Salt Lake City, bro. Fucking forget about
shit.
It.
Shit. Echo effect.
Forget about it.
So look, dude. The other thing is the guy who made that deal with the PCP drug enforcement agent, so he was like, okay, I'm going to give you this, Charlie. He's like, what do you mean, John? John's like, well, Charlie... I'm going to support your efforts to get rid of PCP. We're going to take this one thing off the market. We're going to get rid of it. He's like, well, what are you asking me in return, John? John's like, we got to introduce crack cocaine to the brothers.
Yeah. I mean,
and that's what they did.
Yeah.
They got rid of PCP and brought crack in.
And brought the crack
in. It's a little handshake deal.
Right. Yeah. Well, that was
and that's what happened.
Deal. Right. Well, I appreciate that.
Everyone knows, like, that's what happened.
But to me, it's important to recognize the places where government intervention has worked. You know, so for instance, like maybe back around the turn of the 20th century, you would have had a lot of people who would have said, "What can you do about a 9-year-old working in a fucking mine?"
Right.
What can you? Nobody could ever stop that. The kid needs to fucking make the money.
The kid has to walk. He's got to eat. And he's got the immigrants
are coming in.
And taking the job.
Every 9-year-old needs a fucking job in the mine. You can't ever stop it. Never.
What are you ever going to do about this?
You know, or somebody said at some point, like,
such bad accents.
The horse-drawn carriage will never go away. Those noisy things that you see on the street will never replace a good horse. Stuff like that, right? Like, this fatalism that the world is fated to be in the same spot.
Why are we so fatalistic?
That we aren't. It's these other fucking crackpot fucking lunatics that are that are that way. We're not that. I'm not that way. I'm like it's insane.
I think of myself as a visionary.
It's as insane as thinking about like that. Petroleum is obviously going to be the means of our look. In 15 years, the way that people drive cars is going to be radically different. It's just going to be, there's going to be so many more electric cars, maybe not in this country, but in countries like China and other places like that. Like Volkswagen, here's one way that it's happened already, right? The companies themselves, Volkswagen already made the decision. They're like, by such and such year, 50% of all the automobiles that we're making are going to be purely electric.
Purely.
Okay. Well, but here's the reason to be fatalistic. Can I give you an argument?
Yeah.
If you watch movies, they always set, like, in a world. Like, in 1985, there's a movie about the future, and it's set in 2002. It's like Terminator 3 or whatever. And everything's massively changed.
That's also because robots took over the world.
It just hasn't changed. Oh, because they're dumb fucks. Okay. Okay, so bad example.
Cyborgs.
Bad example.
Part then. People, too.
But every movie that's about the future, like, the Blade Runner 2049 is about to come out. I'm looking forward to it. I think it's going to be a good movie. It
seems but it's like not going to look like that in 2049.
No, it's not. It's 24 short. It should have been called
Blade Runner 4000 in 2002.
Exactly. Like, and then it would maybe change.
And then it would change.
But, dude, it takes a little while for us to impact this kind of change you're talking about. Yeah. But just the way we squelled and freaking PCP, we can get rid of the guns.
I mean, and that's my point, is that there are so many. Look,
squelch. In terms,
I don't even know what that means. I think you were reaching for squelch.
I was reaching for quelled and squalor.
Squashed?
Squashed
and squashed.
And quelled.
And quelled.
And I came up with squelled.
Squelled.
Nice. JJ for DD, everybody.
But look,
Making up words like George but look, W.
Even different than it. Like, if you want to really dive down on that analogy, you could say this, like, there isn't anything super hyper specific to make these changes happen with the gun stuff. Like, you needed that one specific chemical to go away in the production of PCP. You don't need that with the guns. There's like 70 different ways that you could come at this and provide a way, like bullet control,
fingerprints,
background checks, mental health, fucking screenings and blah, blah, blah. That's not going to impact anybody who is a quote-unquote responsible gun owner.
But they're afraid from owning their stupid racist,
fucking
man.
Gun, man.
One of the things that comes up time and again, and I was just listening to the Pod Save America podcast, which is probably the reason I'm so depressed and in a bad mood right now, before we started rolling, and they had a dude on that's just basically saying, like, look, man, the reason all this shit's happening is because everyone's fucking racist. The backlash against having a black president is so far above and beyond that any of us on the left side knew. We've touched on this before, but I think it's just, I think that people are just so fucking racist and pissed that they just will not fucking have a conversation and a dialogue about fucking gun legislation, safety, or anything else, or healthcare, or whatever, because they're not being reasonable. We're still in fucking Jim Crow, basically. We're barely out of Jim Crow. Our last president before this one lived during Jim Crow, right? I think.
Who? Clinton?
Obama? No, he was coming right out of Jim Crow. And
he was in Hawaii.
Look, when you have 400 fucking years of fucking social injustice, to think that it's just going to turn over... I was naive as fuck myself, thinking, oh, cool, man. We got the Hawaiian black dude who smokes pot. This is great. I was stoked. I went to the rallies. You know? I got all fired up and got chill bumps, and I partied on election nights. And I didn't anticipate this backlash from people who are afraid of other people who don't look like them.
Well,
it's a lot to unpack. Yeah,
so. You know, I mean, it's not. I mean, that is a part. It's a big part of our country, and a lot of people allowed themselves to get hoodwinked who had those feelings, like, internalized and not externalized in the way that, like, roughly one-third of the population has that. And look, I've said this to you, man, that I mean, you can see all over the country, there's so many forces at play, including propaganda from the Russians and people trying to influence the way that people gather information on social media. You saw on Bill Maher some alarming statistics about whether or not people actually truly believe in democracy, especially people around your age, Spence, who are
exactly.
like incredibly blasé about the idea of the basic tenets of democracy. And it's like, you know, you're getting all of these outside influences that are making their way into places where information gathering is happening, and it's having an impact, no more so than on the right wing. But look, that's been an organized effort to turn the right wing into a Borg cube, a collective that oddly, frankly, represents the communist threat that they used to be so fucking scared of.
Right.
You know, that everyone thinks the same. Everyone is required to do the same thing. No dissent is tolerated. They are the George Orwell. They're already there.
Right.
And then, oddly, in their outlets when they speak about, like, at InfoWars about their conspiracy, the popular conspiracy theories that they have, they purport themselves to be the liberators from the George Orwell tyranny, as though it's coming from
the
other side. And what's happening is that we have this like pure, grade A fucking finest projection that we've ever seen. Like, where you have people on the right blaming everyone on the left for things that are occurring as though the left represents some kind of power threat
right.
to them and their guns, and that their entire world, the vision of their entire world and their entire identity is like made out of sand, and that one wave of liberalism is going to come in and crush that identity forever. And none of that is true. And so we spend all our time speaking about, we try to speak logically toward this insanity.
Right.
And it doesn't work.
It doesn't.
It's not working. I've said this before, they're utterly convinced at this point. They're convinced.
Utilizing language does not help our cause. One of the things, speaking of Bill Maher, that he says time and again is that us liberals need to come up with our little catchphrases and get on board with them.
I know.
As opposed to just speaking logically and practically with English language.
But there's a problem with that also.
And sure there is. I don't want to succumb to that.
I'll say it directly to his face.
I want to speak like a human being.
You are assuming that the people on the other side of the aisle don't have a measure of intelligence that's lower than what you have.
Right.
And that would be the smugness, what I just said,
right.
that everyone accuses the left of having.
That's right.
But you know what? It just happens to also be fucking true from data that has been gathered about who believes in what and why they believe in it.
Yep.
You know, so you have to bridge a gap there's an intelligence gap there. There's a fact-based gap there.
There's an education gap.
People who don't, and there's an education gap. And I don't know. I don't know how to fucking bridge it, man. All I know is this: is that maybe.
I just want to put up my dukes and fight, Jeff.
Look,
that's all I want to do.
Maybe
that's where I'm at right now.
Well,
JJ for D.
You got a hole in your foot, man. So like, planning and getting a good shot in is going to be rough, man.
Let's get that get that first jab and then a hook coming from the other side. As long as I don't do any fancy footwork, I'm fine.
I just think that it's not the most effective thing that can be done is to win, for the left to come together and forget about this fucking Bernie Sanders and Hillary Clinton. I agree with Salman Rushdie. Get rid of both of them. I agree with fucking...
did you watch Curb Your Enthusiasm?
I didn't, and
oh,
not yet.
Shit.
Salman
Rushdie was it.
I love it because he's like, look, you know, we watched that episode of Bill Maher, and it was Fran Lebowitz and Salman Rushdie. And Lebowitz, I thought it was great that she was like, I'm so tired of Bernie Sanders. He's just a narcissistic old man.
Right.
And I'm like, he is. He's not. He's an empathetic guy who has a grasp of like where we want liberal politics to go.
But he's kind of narcissistic as any politician.
But it's just we
kind of have to be to run for president though too.
Well, yeah. I mean, someone told me like when I first started running the city council thing, it was like one of the weirdest. It was right before that, the first forum you saw me at, Jeff, with at Corpus Christi.
Yeah.
The dude who was running was like, you've got to be a maniac to run for any political office, like a complete psychopath. And he just said that to me. And this was the guy running the nonprofit who was hosting the thing. And I've reflected on that. Like, what am I fucked up? Like, am I like a narcissistic weirdo asshole? Because I think that I might be able to impact some sort of positive change in the community. I don't know. It crosses my mind, though. Like, how is our wiring, like Bernie Sanders, back to Bernie Sanders, how are you wired that you think that you are the dude that's going to make this change? much.
Well, that's the thing. Anyone who's like running for the presidency, I think, has to have like a certain level of narcissism because, you know, they want to have a legacy as a president. Like,
right.
That's the most narcissistic part of it. Like, oh, if I win, it's going to be my legacy, how I work with the country. And
but look, I just want to get back to my original point on this, too, is like, it's really more, I mean, if I could be ageist, and I will be, it's more about, it's like, we can't have, especially on the left, we can't have people who are 74
no.
running for fucking up for president of the United States. We can't have somebody who's 70. Joe
Biden back out there, dude.
Who's, I know.
Are you kidding me?
We got to stop with this.
That
get
shit.
Rid of the baby boomers, man. They're done.
With them.
We're done with
you know
that.
What? That
era
you know
is
what?
Over.
I refuse to apologize for having disdain for that generation.
I don't have, it's just.
I have disdain.
I have some too, all right? But everyone has disdain for generation, right?
Yeah.
But the simple fact of the matter is that if you want people Spencer's age to come out and vote,
right.
You can't have somebody 74
right.
for crying out loud. You can't have somebody who looks like an old white man if you want to get people of color to come and vote
right.
for crying out loud. It's simple politicking.
Right.
That doesn't even take narcissism to understand that.
Sure.
You know, whether even if the formulation of the ideas and what he's proposing is something that's super fucking valuable to you, you are going to shit in the mouth of any momentum that that person can gain simply by the person's age and the way they look.
Yep.
So stop it. That's my Kamala Harris. Let's have her be the fucking next goddamn person who right. gets nominated, right? She's in our age range, person of color, woman, California. I'm down.
Skablam.
Runner.
Skablam. That's
just
a trifecta.
Put her up there.
It's a trifecta right there.
I folks. Know. It's like you want me to get behind somebody? I'll get behind her 1,000%, I'm man. I could not be more clear than Rushdie was on that show about like, Bernie Sanders and Hillary Clinton are not the people who run what happens on the left. And if we and the only what we have to do because of that intelligence gap and because we're not going to convince the Borg cube
so
of
weird
anything
that we have an intelligence gap between
we're,
parties.
We're not going to convince so them weird. Of anything. Those people clearly, I had somebody come on a Facebook post today. The only thing that stops a sniper is a bullet in the head. The only thing that stops a sniper is a bullet in the head. The only thing that stops a sniper is a bullet in the head. Let me give you an example of something else that stops a sniper. Not being able to buy
the
fucking gun.
And
that
the
stops
ammo.
A sniper. All right? And the ammo. That will stop a sniper. Dead in his tracks. He won't be able to do it. He'll have to like go have a fucking knife fight somewhere at a bar
exactly.
to get his fucking shit out. And maybe two people get injured
maybe some
instead
brass
of 500.
Knuckles. Maybe some brass knuckles.
Right.
Whatever.
Exactly. You know, so I know this is like maybe the most vehement rant I've had on this podcast, man.
I don't think it is, but in a long time, yeah.
It's in a long time.
In a while.
I mean, it's just so preposterous.
Can you grab you a beer?
Everything, yeah, please.
Me too, if you don't mind.
It's so preposterous.
So upset.
Everything about this stagnation that we have to sit by and watch people get mowed down in our country, and we don't have a collective solution.
It
that
becomes
we,
politicized the second after
the
it happens.
The second after it happens, it becomes politicized because of the right.
Right.
Not because of the left. The politicization of it is about the ownership of guns, not the doing something about it.
Say about fucking safety.
Exactly.
Not control, but safety.
God
we
damn. We
don't want to control your bullshit. We just want to be safe. Public safety is a big fucking issue and infrastructure and catch basins.
Can I just say something? The pool across the street wouldn't be allowed to open without a fucking lifeguard there on duty.
Because of safety.
Because of safety. Okay? And you would have every neighborhood group and parent in this neighborhood having a shit fit.
Left and right.
Having a shit fit if there wasn't a lifeguard there on duty.
With that big ass pool is
with
deep.
That big ass fucking pool over there. Okay? So exactly. Like in all kinds of ways.
Why?
In so many ways.
Okay.
We are concerned with safety. The one way that we're not concerned
Thank
about
you,
safety
Jeff.
In the United States is with fucking guns.
That's such
man.
A great analogy because swimming, you can drown. But you're less likely to drown from... Okay, put 4 9-year-olds in a room, and there's a pool. Put a gun in the room and a pool in the room. They're more likely to get killed from the gun. More likely. At 9 years old. Because they might be able to swim. Who knows? All I'm saying is that, like, one of them's probably a strong swimmer, and they can help the other ones out.
Sure.
But the gun's going to fucking kill you, dude! Safety. Like, what do we have? We have school zones. Don't drive fast through the school zone. Why? Safety.
Every time.
Why do we have those signs? Ice on bridge. Blah, blah, blah. You know how much money we spend on those ice on bridge fucking signs? In Louisiana, where it never ices over. How much fucking money do we spend on that bullshit?
No, here's another one that we were talking about.
Ice over sooner.
We were talking about Jane Mansfield, right? You know, when Jane Mansfield got killed, and we're talking about Jane Mansfield's daughter, right? And when she got killed in Louisiana over here, they introduced a thing that eventually got called the Mansfield Bar. So that when you, if you happen to run into the back of a tractor trailer on the interstate or on a highway, you don't have your, and everybody in the car doesn't get decapitated.
Right.
You know, the NRA would have you believe that none of that is possible. Nothing that we've ever done in the history of the world to make the world a safer place is possible.
Jeff, elevators are safer now.
In the NRA's view.
Guess what? Elevators are safer now than they were 20 years ago.
Yeah. Yeah. We arrived at alternating current because it's safer than direct current.
Right.
That's one of the reasons.
Right.
Why we arrived at using alternating
current. Guess why firemen aren't really needed that much anymore? Because of regulation.
Ooh, we need fire.
Electrical. Man. No, we do. And I get it. They're cool. They're more like mascots now.
Well, no, like my neighbor caught our house on fire the other day.
Oh, so. That's unfortunate.
No, we need firemen.
Yeah, you need firemen.
No, I know that. I know I'm an outlier on this idea, but I feel like that eventually the firemen are going to become extinct in terms of their need, but I think we should keep them around because they're cool.
No, there will be fires.
No, there's going to be fires.
No, I'm just saying, as we regulate, there's fewer fires.
But there will still always be fire.
Oh, dude. Okay, but you don't get my point that there's less fires now because we're safer?
California's been on fire for the whole summer.
I get
that's a different kind of fire, man.
I get where you're going with it. Maybe not the best analogy.
Maybe not the best, but I'm just saying that houses don't burn down routinely anymore because of regulation. That's all I'm saying. It doesn't happen routinely because we have codes for electrical.
Everything in society,
keep our houses from burning fucking down.
Everything in society that Jesus we have, like the NRA would have you believe, like we could run off a list, right? The NRA would be like this. They'd be like, what are you talking about? Asbestos. It's fine.
It's mold. About? How about mold?
They're like, oh, some mold got in your house? Well, the wall didn't fall down. That's fine, right?
Right.
You shouldn't do anything about that. You can't do anything about it. What are you talking about? You spray a substance on it, it makes the mold, it kills the mold? You can't do that. No one can invent anything or any way to make things safer. It can't be done. It just can't be done. So, hi, everybody. We're the NRA.
Fatalist. We're the Fatalist. It's a Good Life Fatalist podcast. Fatal.
In fact, what they do, you know, Spence, it's like they go the opposite way. They say the only thing that actually keeps us safe is buying more guns.
That's right.
We just have to buy more guns, which is echoed by this guy who gets on my post on Facebook, and his post is in all caps, of course, you know, which is like the indication of mental illness.
Right.
You know, he's like, the only thing I'm going to stop is another gun, bro. And here's the thing. He doesn't read the articles, which we were talking about before we started, which is that a bunch of the people, right, Spencer, were at the fucking concert. And we're armed.
Yeah. And it was a country concert in Nevada. So they had guns.
They had guns.
The guitarist for one of the bands playing had a gun and he said,
okay,
guns didn't mean shit.
Can I get a shout out?
They were useless.
Why didn't they mean shit? Why?
If they pulled them out, they knew they were going to get caught in the crossfire with the police. There was too much chaos and panic going on.
Exactly.
At least they were smart enough to not pull them out.
Yeah.
Can I give a shout out to somebody?
Yeah.
The alien cockroaches.
I don't know.
Alien cockroaches who are going to take over.
Oh, right. Yeah, of course.
We've talked about this on the podcast.
Yeah. And they're going to look back.
They're going to look back. and they're going to look at our society, and they're going to, we're going to be, it's a goodlifebabe.com. Jeff and Joel's Tales from New Orleans with Spencer. We're going to be in some sort of like archival, what do they call it, a tube or whatever. We're going to be like something that, we're going to be unearthed by the cockroach anthropologists, right?
Yeah.
And
yeah,
I just want to say to you cockroaches listening right now, we're just upset today. Human beings have emotions. And we're upset because we feel like there's things that are out of our control, like 58 people being killed at a country music festival, and the catch basin's not working today when the rain comes, and Tom Petty dying. And it's just...
almost dying.
It's just upset.
Probably going to die.
It's just upset.
Also, by the way, we're not getting any fucking reports about an island that's like still without power. That has three and a half million people.
U.S. citizens.
On it, who are U.S. citizens.
Our country, by the way.
And they're over the next few weeks.
Cockroaches don't have countries. So we have to explain to them, like, hey, we had different types of people.
Yeah.
Because the cockroach aliens that take over, they're just all one unit. Is what I'm saying. So we have to remind them as they're looking back.
Trump and Melania are planning a trip to Puerto Rico tomorrow, so they're going to go, you know, over the water, the big water, to an island surrounded by water. Big water.
There's big water there. Exactly.
It's the biggest water.
Did you see the one thing I saw? Someone on Fox News, it was with FEMA, not the FEMA director, but one of them saying this is the most, like, going to be the most difficult logistically thing the U.S. has ever pulled off. And then all these people just started responding to it. Yeah, because we didn't put the American flag on the moon and we didn't win a war against Europe while also a war over the entire Pacific Ocean.
Yeah,
we can handle Puerto Rico. We can take care of Puerto Rico.
Clearly the most logistically difficult thing the United States has ever done.
It's getting to an island?
Getting to an island that is a territory of the United States and transporting goods and services.
Food? That's about, what, and 700 miles from Florida?
Can I 800? Say something? If there's one thing, one unheralded thing that the United States does better than any other country on Earth and has done better forever than any country ever is transport goods and services.
Right.
Transportation of goods and services, of things of commercial value in the United States, is the single thing that the United States does
of our fucking entire...
It does better than any country in the world.
It's the reason we won World War II.
Like, the idea that we couldn't, like, have...
The reason Russia lost the Cold War.
We couldn't have an armada of super tankers carrying fucking goods and services to Puerto Rico out of this country is in fucking sane for somebody to think that that can't happen. You know what happened is that just like in Katrina, that Commonwealth of the United States got deprioritized just like New Orleans because it's viewed by the administration as New Orleans was at the time, as a place where people of color reside predominantly.
Right.
That is the reason why. And that's it.
Can I say something about racism? Can I tell you how sad that I am at 48 years old? That politically and culturally, socially, it feels like it's been reduced to race. Like what you just said... Maybe even 10 years ago, I would have been, oh, man, that's a little bit out of...
Has it been reduced? Well, let me ask you a question. Has it been reduced to race, or has it always been that way, and we're just waking up to it?
It's always been that way.
Well, I think it's a good bit of race, but it's also got to do just with rich versus poor.
No, it's socioeconomic. You're
right.
Socioeconomic has a lot to do with it as well.
Well, class is...
People don't care about poor white people either. They can see them as...
No, but it's still...
It's not as bad, but, you know, it's...
Yeah. I mean, socioeconomic
being poor is being poor.
Inequity
sure.
is
no,
a big part of the problem.
That's true, you know. But that initial response, you know, is like...
I mean, that's why I just think maybe Miami got a better response than New Orleans. Because Miami, people also think, oh, yeah, probably the same as Puerto Rico as far as Latin culture, Latin population and all that.
There's money there, right.
But there's a lot of money in Miami.
Right. I feel you.
There's rich white people in Miami.
And rich Latin people.
You know, if you have rich white people anywhere, you're going to get the most fucking help.
Well, I mean, you can have... I mean, look at the Muslim people we love. The Arabians and the Arab Emirates, the ones with money. The rest are terrorists, but those we're all right with.
With oil.
I was listening to a podcast the other day, and this dude called into the
oil, money, power, it's all the same.
Yeah, sure.
This dude called into a podcast. Exactly. It's like a listener or whatever. God, it's so funny. And he's like, I'm not going to tell you which country that I worked in the Middle East, but it was one that it was the only country in the Middle East that had a designation for behaviorally disabled people because they can afford to. Right?
Right. Yeah.
So you can't.
I don't understand what
you can't have disabled people without money, right? Like his point was, in every other Middle Eastern country that's poor, it's just a dumbtard. It's not like a diagnosed thing that gets treated.
Right. Yeah.
So he was there from the United States as a special behavioralist person of some education that helps people with mental and physical disabilities or whatever, emotional, you know. And he's basically like, they can afford to have these problems.
Can I say something, man? Saudi Arabia just allowed women to drive.
Just now.
Like 3-4 days ago. That happened.
They're going to.
And people are like, Saudi Arabia allowed women to drive. I'm like, wow, that's a victory for women.
That's a victory for 1805.
Yeah.
If we had a time machine.
Yeah, if cars were really out on the road in 1805, that would have been a victory in 1805, you know?
Marty McFly, bitch.
Like literally, see, there was already a women's suffrage movement in the United States.
Right.
You know, at that time we're talking I mean, it's just the poor parts of this world that are
And why look, crazy. Can we shout out to the women? They're better than we are. Just want to double down on that thought. The Victoria Coy, who's coming on our podcast on Wednesday, hopefully, if that's able to happen. Your girl Tracy. Women are so much better than
Jen Odell posted something today, and I was like, I'm not even going to get on there because this issue is such a raw nerve. And the other thing, too, is that when 58 people get shot because we only have this 6 degrees of separation thing,
right?
Somebody on some thread is going to know somebody who got killed.
Yep.
At some point, you know?
Yep.
I have a friend who got shot in the movie theater shooting in Lafayette.
Yeah.
We're all going to have somebody eventually, the way things are going. And here's the thing. Back to Jen Odell. Jen said that it's always an old white guy. And I was like, well, they're not always old. That's what I thought. Right. That was the first thing. They're not always old. Dylan Roof.
Young. Yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking. Sometimes I was
young. Like, what about Charleston?
Yeah. Yeah. They're not always old, but a lot of times they are. It's true. You know, but here's the thing. And I don't know why people don't talk about this more. We have this revisionist history that takes over. The Board Collective takes it in, and the fatalism kicks in. And like, no, it never was anything other than unfettered access to guns. No, that's wrong. We had the Brady Bill at one point.
Right.
And it
worked.
Republicans allowed it to last.
The Brady Bill worked.
And it worked because it kept assault rifles out of the hands of crazy fucking Americans.
Convicted felons.
Right, and, exactly.
You know, people,
gang members,
That's right.
With an assault charge, yeah.
But again, here's the thing. Nothing is going to happen because basically, I'll just say it. The Republican Party is the party of American terrorism at this point, in this juncture in our history. They support terrorism in the United States.
In order to put forth their social agenda and economic
agenda.
Nothing
is going to happen. Like this whole idea of like reaching across the aisle and let's get together and we have to have bipartisan support. Now I understand that, you know, but that assumes that people on the right in the political climate that we're in right now, that there are enough of them that aren't fucking crazy.
There aren't. And that's why.
And that's why they have to be defeated.
I feel like we have to fight the fucktards.
Yeah.
We got to fight the fucking fucktards.
They have to be defeated and defeated roundly.
Sorry, Mom.
Taken out.
But I know you agree with me.
They just have to be taken out.
Fight the fucktards.
That's it. Right. And that's why I'm not going to say anything nice. Like, here's here's my thing.
Nor am I.
Okay, you want to do something, Steve Scalise? You came back. Everyone said, you know, people got on me.
He is doing something. He's sending his prayers and thoughts.
Yeah, I'm sure he is. Yeah, they're wafting over the dead remains of the people who are being buried as we speak right now and doing nothing for them. For crying. That guy has the opportunity right now, a guy who fell victim to his own, who got hoisted literally on his own petard. Because he was a guy...
Has taken money from the NRA.
Oh, not only taken money, but he's advanced the legislation to have this kind of like free-for-all on fucking arms, right? And the one crazed leftist, Bernie Sanders guy, got through the fucking thing and shot Steve Scalise, right? So, where are you now? You came back, you took your hero's fucking bow with your cane... You know, and everybody's applauding you, and everybody feels like they have to express fealty toward a guy who said that I am fucking David Duke without the baggage years ago. I don't like the guy. I've never liked the fucking guy. And I said, and I'll say it again, that I didn't care whether he lived or whether he died as a result of that incident because he hasn't done anything worthwhile for humanity.
Sure.
So here's my thing. You got shot and you survived. Get up off your fucking ass and do something about this right now.
Yeah, the guitarist okay? for that country band.
Because it happened at a country fucking music show, for crying out loud. Out of all the
these places. These are your supporters. This is your base.
No one is safe from this shit.
Nope.
Nobody is. And I tried to tell the Trump supporters that when they fucking won.
When I tried to...
Like, dick is going to be in your fucking ass,
I was
man.
Contrasting that today to someone on the phone. Because yesterday we had a campaign event for my political campaign, JJ for DD.
Excuse me.
And we went out to the second line.
Do you have to curse so much?
And there was... do you have to have the potty mouth? The potty mouth.
Yeah, with the potty mouth.
sorry, Andrew, we do. Fuck shit, dick. So we were out on the second line yesterday. And there's like, I don't know, 5,000 people out there maybe? Maybe more? What would you guess? It was like... There was thousands of people out there.
There were good, yeah, several thousand people out there.
And there was a feeling in my mind of, like, safety, because the second line social and pleasure clubs that host the second lines make it very clear to the community, leave your bad attitude and your guns at home. And they just say it. They put it on the flyer. They put it on anything that promotes, like, where the route is, where they're stopping, where they're beginning, who's the band playing, blah, blah, blah. Keep your bad attitudes and your guns at home. And guess what? The community respects it. And I don't know. I'm not trying to draw some sort of comparison, except just to say that, like, in freaking right-wing white America, there are lots of people who probably would have been out on that second line and felt afraid because there were so many black people there. You know what I mean? And I couldn't have felt more safe in that environment. I almost feel sheepish about making the point, but... It's just true, dude. The second line is this great community event with thousands of freaking black people that is completely safe. You know, where there's not... It just... I mean, obviously there's exceptions to the rule, but...
But there's no more exceptions to the rule than there are now people going to country music concerts and not getting shot up.
Right. Now you can get shot up going to... See Jason out
where there. How many good guys with a gun were probably there?
Right.
Yeah, that's their argument. This fucking
that should be a band name.
Which here, y'all mind if I read the post that the guitarist from the Josh Abbott band, guitarist name is Caleb Keeter, posted this last night after the events that happened. I've been a proponent of the Second Amendment my entire life. Until the events of last night, I cannot express how wrong I was. We actually have members of our crew with CHL licenses and legal firearms on the bus. They were useless. We couldn't touch them for fear police might think that we were part of the massacre and shoot us. A small group or one man laid waste to a city with dedicated, fearless police officers desperately trying to help because of access to an insane amount of firepower. Enough is enough. writing my parents and the love of my life a goodbye last night in a living will because I felt like I wasn't going to live through the night was enough for me to realize that this is completely and totally out of hand. These rounds were powerful enough that my crew guys, just standing in a close proximity of a victim shot by this fucking coward, received a shrapnel wound. We need gun control right now. My biggest regret is that I stubbornly didn't realize it until my brothers on the road and myself were threatened by it.
Deep. And like I said, it's 6 degrees of separation. At some point, you're going to know somebody. Yeah. It doesn't matter whether you're left or right.
No.
It's going to happen.
Guns,
you know,
kill people.
And if you buy into the fatalism, even after you've been affected by it, there's nothing that can be done for you. You have to be controlled. Your thoughts and beliefs and ideas have got to be reined in. They just have to be, man. You win. That's how you do it.
Yeah,
you fucking win. Yeah. That's what you do. You just got to get out and win.
Yeah.
That's it. It's the only way.
Yeah.
We got to get redistricting done, and we got to get gun control done.
Fuck the gerrymander.
Yeah.
Dude, I don't know where we're at on time.
We're at almost an hour.
An hour.
Yeah.
I just want to say, like, I know I pimp my campaign all the time, but I want to win. I want to win because I want to go to Congress after this, and I want to change shit. You know, I know it seems like a lark for a lot of people who listen to this podcast and a lot of my friends, but my passion and heart and brains are in the right place. I want to push forth a progressive platform. I don't want these type of days to happen again. I'm all weepy and shit, you know, because I'm emotional about it. But I think that's required, you know, to care. And
it's so fucking nuts, man.
Let's step up. Let's fight. Fucking fight, Jeff. Spencer, let's fucking fight.
Well, that's the only way that it's going to happen.
Yeah.
I mean, that's it. Because it's the intransigence. You know, it's like skins versus shirts. Right. It's intransigence versus thinking people. Exactly. That's what it is.
It is coming down to that.
Stubborn versus thinking.
Caveman, you know? Versus intellect.
Yeah, I mean, it's just like, you know, we got to beat them back. That's what has to happen.
We cannot be cowered into a corner because they call us intellects. Right? Because they say we're overthinking things, or because we're elitist, because we're coastal. All that bullshit. No, we're smarter than you, dipshits. And we're going to fucking beat you down into the fucking ground.
There you go. Couldn't say it better myself. All right. We're listening to Tom Petty, y'all. He's clinging to life. It's a damn shame. So I wish I would have gone to see him at the Jazz Fest, you know. We're gonna go out on this. Come back. Are we gonna do a part two? We might do a part two, we might not. Anyway, folks, stay safe out there. For crying out loud.
Love each other. Be good to each other. Be kind to each other.
Be nicer. It's a goodlifebabe.com. Jeff and Joel's Tales from New Orleans.